Welcome to this teaching on the Holy Spirit. This is by no means comprehensive. Who can plumb the heights, depths, width, length, and breadth of God's Spirit? Man is not capable. As I have spoken to many brilliant theologians in their respective religions, that you cannot know God intellectually. You can have some understanding as the Spirit gives light into your path and the Word shows you the way, but you cannot comprehensively understand God. And you can only know the Holy Spirit if you are born again by the Spirit, and the Spirit instructs you in these things. Therefore, what is hidden from brilliant intellectuals has been revealed to children. This is the enigmatic dynamic of God is receiving by faith in a childlike, not childish, but childlike way, trusting in God and allowing Him to instruct you in His ways. And Lord willing, we shall do so in this series on the Holy Spirit. Welcome. Get out your Bibles. The first one that we will talk about, because we are coming into that season, we are now in the season of the counting of the Omer from Passover to Shavuot. Shavuot is the day of Pentecost. It is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to birth the church. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, 1 through 5. First, though, let us look in Luke 24, 46, in which Jesus says thus to his disciples, as he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures, then he said to them, meaning Jesus, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Here the Lord is commanding the disciples as he appeared to them in his final directions and instructions, that that the Father is going to send the promise, but to wait into Jerusalem until they are endued with this power from on high. Let's proceed to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Now, in Acts chapter 1, the Holy Spirit is promised. That is the promise of the Father. Let's start at verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive, after his suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, meaning Jesus said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and John and Andrew. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Then in verses 15 through 20, Matthias is chosen to take the place of Judas. Actually, 15 through the end of chapter 1, 26. So let's proceed, therefore, to Acts chapter 2, the coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost, what is Pentecost? It's Shavuot. It's 50 days after Passover. The counting of the Omer, the children, the Hebrews had come out of Israel. They were in the wilderness on Pentecost. Moses went up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. And the book of Ruth is read, which Ruth is signifies or symbolizes the Gentile nations coming into the house of Israel. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. I'd like to comment right here that this particular room, the upper room, is allegedly on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. It's several. The Catholic Church has a church there, the Church of the Dormition, the Sleeping, there's graveyards, the Greek Orthodox, the Holy Land, University of the Holy Land Institute is up there, and the Jews have the Tomb of David, and the Synagogue of the Tomb of David, and the Yeshiva and a Diaspora Yeshiva up on this Mount Zion, which is where the upper room allegedly is. There is a room there they call the upper room. I don't know. It's quite doubtful that this is the place where they were assembled waiting for the Holy Spirit, but so the tradition has it. And it was converted several centuries later into a mosque. There's all kinds of Islamic writings in it. And currently, just recently, several weeks ago, as this is April 2013, within the last 2 months, let's say, the Catholic Church has gotten rights to hold masses in this upper room. Nevertheless, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, Are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, ah, they're full of new wine. Here the account delineates who, which nations and tongues were there. People from all over the Middle Eastern world were, and even Rome, were there gathered in the crowd and heard the wonderful works of God in their own native tongues. This was not just for the Jews. This was not an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in just for the Jews or for Israel alone. Peter's sermon. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. So this must be the last days. That I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven and above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I would like to look now at the Joel scripture. As I have heard people give interpretations out of Joel concerning dreams and visions, that this was only for Israel and this was only in the time of tribulation. But is that what this really says? No, it says the last days. And there are... at times, prophecy has layered fulfillments, not all prophecies, but some prophecies. Okay, Joel 2:28, in the context, Joel is calling, the second chapter of Joel is the day of the Lord, a call to repentance. The land will be refreshed. And then God's Spirit, Joel 2:28, is poured out, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And then this verse, chapter 32, which is not mentioned in Acts chapter 2, but only the first part. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. So I would venture to say this is why the main institutions that are contend over who's first in Jerusalem as being the first church, we'll say that it's Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And the Lord has said among the remnant who calls, the Lord calls. So the Lord has to call you, therefore. The Lord has to call you. The Lord has to call you. I hope you're hearing his call. And Joel 3 then goes, for behold, in those days and at that time when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and so on. This passage, Joel 3, talks about the judgments of the nations and moves into the shakings that will happen, that God's going to know and bring to pass. It's a fast track, fast forward, jumps over many centuries, has some multiple fulfillments. Nevertheless, this is not just it only happened in Joel, and it's only for Israel, and it's only about the Great Tribulation. Au contraire, it is in the book of Acts. There are people from all lands. It's for all who will come to Jerusalem and Mount Zion, whom the Lord calls, who hears, who repents, who turns. It is these are the last days, but there are a final day, the great and awesome day of the Lord, which is the final dealings with God, Jesus, before his second advent. As we come to understand, we only know in part, and we prophesy in part, and then we shall know in the fullness, when we shall see him face to face. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Therefore, there will be, it says, and I venture to say, it's just as the Holy Spirit says here, that God's going to pour out a spirit, there will be prophecy and there will be signs and wonders in heaven. Wonders in heaven and signs in the earth. Wow, look at that. Whoa, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness. Eclipses, moon into bud, prenumbral lunar eclipses. Before the great and awesome day of the Lord. Then verse 22 in Acts chapter 2. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. All right, this is a quote from Psalm 16, 8 through 11, that Peter quotes in this passage. Then Peter goes on to say, men, brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and all the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. All right, let's look at another passage in Acts. Chapter 18, 24 through 28. And this recounts the story of a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him to them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. I really like that idea, that there are ways of God, and then there are more perfect ways, more detailed, more insight, more revelation, more depth, the ability to perceive and see and hear and understand at different measures. Some have meat, some have wine, others are still on milk. Milk. And it says, another translation, they explained to him the way of God more accurately. More accurately. And when he desired to cross over to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Let's look at the baptism of John. Let's see what the scriptures say. In Mark chapter 1, let's look at John the Baptist's ministry, since it says here that Apollos was quite eloquent, but he only knew the baptism of John. Mark 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from the Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Therefore, the baptism of John is a baptism of repentance for the remissions of sins. And they baptized, and then they went into water baptism. They were baptized in the Jordan River. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Aha! So John preached repentance, the baptism of repentance for sin, and he baptized with water, but he spoke about one coming who will baptize you, that is the people, those who repent and are baptized with water, with the Holy Spirit. Let us go now to the account in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, let's start at verse 19 regarding John the Baptist. Now, this is a testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. In this account, John the Baptist is confronted by the religious leaders. They ask who he is. Is he the Christ? Is he Isaiah? Is he the prophet? He said, "No, I'm the one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" He baptizes with repentance and water. He says in this account that it's the one who sent him, told him that one was coming that's preferred before him. And when he saw Jesus, he said, "This is the one that was preferred before him, and for him he is the Son of God, the one whom the Spirit of God rests," the Holy Spirit. And he, this one, Jesus, "This is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." Who baptizes with the Holy Spirit? Jesus. Even John the Baptist said Jesus is the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the other account in Luke chapter 3 of these baptisms in the Holy Spirit. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being the governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch over Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of Trachonitis, and Licinius tetrarch of Abilene. While Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places and shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.' Then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, 'Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, oh, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none, and he who has food, let him do likewise. Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said, collect no more than what is appointed for you. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, and what shall we do? So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he is a Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water. But one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hands, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. In other words, he will separate the sinners from the righteous, the good wheat, the good fruit he will bring into his barn, into his house. The chaff will he quench with fire in hell. And many other exhortations he preached to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, also added this above all, that he shut up John up in prison. And when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. John the Baptist pointed the way to Jesus. So it says, therefore, right here in Acts, that Apollos was preaching the baptism of repentance and baptizing with water of John. But Aquila and Priscilla explained to him the more perfect way. And he understood that Jesus came. Jesus said he came to baptize, and even John said that, with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And with fire. Therefore, on Pentecost, it was repentance from your sins, belief in Jesus Christ, whom was crucified, and that is who would baptize them with fire. And praise God that I pray that you be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire.